Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Whether the nation of Israel in the Old Testament or the church in this age, despite the failures and weaknesses, God sees the church as glorious, victorious, and beautiful. Well, how can this be? It's because he sees the church, the believers, in Christ. Ron Kingus has returned for another life study from the book of Numbers. Ron, welcome back to the program.
It's good to be back after a period of a few weeks. And I was enjoying in your opening the emphasis, whether intended or not, on God's view, on God's seeing of the situation. God has his view. And if we can enter into God's view, we will be enlightened, supplied, and blessed through this portion of the Word, rightly unfolded through the Lord's ministry.
Well, in this case, Ron, it was intended because that's really the focus of our whole program today. This is a wonderful message, one that our listeners will enjoy. I've enjoyed getting into it to help prepare our portion a little bit. What we're going to see is not just these 3 chapters that I referred to in the opening. It actually, Witness Lee will add chapters 20 and 21 to this list. So altogether, 5 chapters from 20 through 24 with a number of interesting stories and events. But the point behind all of these stories, all of these events, is to reveal 2 marvelous divine persons, Christ and the church. Give us a little background, a quick review, if you would, of the stories that we're going to examine today.
It's remarkable that the perspective of this message is on Christ and the church. It's so easy to utter these words, Christ and the church. But it's easy to miss this marvelous revelation. So I appreciate in each of the chapters what's revealed here. In chapter 20, you have another reference to the smitten rock. And the rock there is Christ, typifies Christ in his incarnation, who is smitten on the cross. We know on the cross he died for our sins, shedding his precious blood, but also he died to release the divine life as the living water to quench our thirst. So that's a picture of Christ we have in chapter 20. Then in chapter 21, we have another type of the bronze serpent. We know this signifies Christ from the Lord's own word in John chapter 3, verse 14, that Christ in his redemptive death was made sin for us. He knew no sin. He had no sin. He did not have the element of sin. But according to Romans 8:3, God sent him in the likeness of the flesh of sin and concerning sin so that God could condemn sin in the flesh when Christ died as our substitute, fulfilling the type of the bronze serpent. Then we also have in this same chapter the fountain or the well springing with living water. And this record points out that the nobles among the people of Israel dug the well. And this signifies that in our experience, sometimes we need to dig because we may have unconfessed sins, we may have some defilement. We need to dig by confessing to the Lord and opening to the Lord so that the living water will flow. And the issue of this is that we become a noble person in our fellowship with God. So we have Christ as the rock, we have Christ as the bronze serpent, and we have Christ now signified by the well. Then in the parables uttered by Balaam under divine inspiration, we have quite a view concerning the church, and I believe we'll get into this in a little while. But we have a point toward the end of his utterances concerning Christ. It's a type, but it's also a prophecy. And he is called the star, and he is called the scepter. The star is obviously a heavenly body for shining, and the scepter represents ruling authority. So here we have the shining Christ becoming the ruling authority, and as such a one, he emerges out from God's people. And that is possible because according to God's view contained in the parables of Balaam, God's people are holy, they're victorious, they're glorious, and they're beautiful. Why? Because of Christ, because they're in Christ and Christ is in them. So Christ can issue from them as a star and as a scepter. Quite a marvelous view of Christ with the church opened up in these chapters of the book of Numbers.
Marvelous summary, Ron, and a good setup, I think, for our program today. Let's go right to Witness Lee.
In these five chapters from 20 to 24, it is quite a picture. A picture full of things, matters, people. But intrinsically speaking, what do you see in these five chapters? In brief, the intrinsic characters in this picture are just two persons, Christ and the church. Why I say this? In typology, these five chapters present a full picture of Christ to us. Firstly, in chapter 20, it presents us Christ as the smitten rock that flows out the living water to meet our need. Then you come to chapter 21. 21 shows us mainly Christ is our replacement. He is the bronze serpent to replace us, to bear God's judgment upon us, not only for our sinful deeds, sinful behavior, but also for our sinful nature. He has accomplished such redemption, so deep, to replace us in our sinful nature. Now, such a one has become a fountain welling up with the living water. Isn't this wonderful? In him, all problems in our behavior and in our nature all have been solved by him being our replacement as the bronze serpent. Now he is our well. And what we have to do is just to dig the well a little bit. He becomes our land of rest. Here, there's no shortage, no problem, no sufferings. Everything has been solved. He's altogether our satisfactory rest.
Well, Ron, we pointed out in the beginning that the program today was going to show us how these five chapters reveal Christ and the church. What we've seen so far really is Christ revealed in these different types and pictures. You mentioned them in your intro. I would just like to come back to a couple of them and ask you to develop a little bit more, particularly at the end here as he was talking about Christ as our well. This is the solution to all of our problems. He said if we dig just a little bit, the enjoyment here becomes our land of rest where there's no shortage. This is the all-inclusive Christ that we've touched a time or two in the past in this life study of Numbers. Maybe you could talk about that for a minute.
This is most pleasing to fellowship about. Recall that in chapter 21, we have Christ typified by the bronze serpent. This is a matter of redemption, dealing with sin, clearing the way for God to justify us, to reconcile us, to forgive us. This is Christ in the judicial aspect of God's complete salvation. And we rejoice that this aspect of Christ, to some extent at least, is faithfully presented by many ones endeavoring to serve the Lord. But there's much more of Christ revealed in the Word than this aspect. In Romans 5:10, Paul goes on to say that since we have already been justified, much more we shall be saved in his life. Well, this is related to the fountain welling up. This is a matter of life. Redemption deals with so many negative things. But we need life to deal with death on the one hand and to supply us abundantly on the other hand, and in and by and with and through Christ as our life, we are saved. This is fully revealed in Romans, and this salvation involves sanctification and being renewed. It includes transformation, confirmation, glorification. It even includes being built up in the organic body of Christ. This is wonderful that we have not only a Redeemer, one who was made sin for us, but this very one in resurrection is our fountain welling up, supplying us with living water to quench our thirst and to solve our problems, because so many of our problems have their source in lacking Christ as life. We need life to supply us and life to save us. But as wonderful as this is, it's not the goal. The ultimate type of Christ in the Old Testament is the good land. This is Christ in his unsearchable riches, and this land is called our rest. Here in Christ as our good land, God's purpose is fulfilled, because here God has a kingdom signified by the city. He has a house signified by the temple. And God's purpose is fulfilled when we enter into this good land, Christ, as our rest. So we begin as sinners needing the sin offering for our redemption. The one made sin for us in resurrection is our fountain welling up unto eternal life. And by the supply of his life and through the salvation in his life, we are guided by him into himself, the all-inclusive Christ, signified by the good land. Here we rest, here God rests, because here God's economy is fulfilled. Isn't this wonderful?
Oh, boy, I'll say, this is more than wonderful. This is the hope of our salvation in a very real and practical application, it seems to me. Ron, in our next section, we want to go now to these parables, as they're called, in chapters 22, 23, and 24. The words of the Gentile prophet under the inspiration of God, this Balaam, as he spoke, intending to curse, but only able to bless Israel. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
In chapters 22, 23, 24, in all these three chapters, are nothing but four parables by these Gentile, heathen, prophet. In his four parables, what are here? Christ and the church. How is the church? The church is what? Is a separate people, a particular people, sanctified unto God. The church has no iniquity in the eyes of God, because the church is not in themselves, in the people themselves, but the church is in Christ, in Christ. So such a church is perfect, and is also, in his appearance, beautiful. Such a church is full of Christ. Christ is the church contents. Christ is the church constitution. Christ is the church's every part. As the new man, Christ is all in all. Christ. And what can Christ? It's not earthly Christ, but heavenly Christ. He's the star. Out of what? He comes out. Out of the church. Out of Jacob. And this star is the scepter. This heavenly Christ is the what? Authority in this whole universe. So he shall come. As the star, he comes out of the church, but as the scepter, as the authority, he shall come. Today, he's our scepter, but tomorrow, he will be the authority in this whole universe. So, in conclusion, you put all these five chapters together, what you could see is just Christ and the church.
Ron, all four of these parables show something marvelous, but because of the limitation of time, I'd like to focus on the one that you mentioned earlier, and that is verse 17 in chapter 24. He says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. There shall come forth a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and he shall crush the corners of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth." No doubt this is Christ again, but this time, Christ coming out of God's people and full of authority as indicated by this scepter. Talk about this Christ.
This is the Christ who is first wrought into our being according to the revelation in the New Testament, particularly Ephesians 3, Christ making his home in our hearts. We say that because he issues out from Jacob and arises out from Israel. He comes out from within us. That means he first must enter into us, make his home in us, be constituted into us, and then eventually he issues forth as the star. This is the heavenly Christ shining in such a glorious way. Then this star eventually is the scepter, the universal authority, the one who rules, who smites the enemy and rules with authority to carry out God's government. Literally and objectively, this will be fulfilled in our Lord's coming again. He will be the star. He even said he will be the morning star to the watching, overcoming saints. And he will have the scepter to rule during the coming kingdom age. But in terms of spiritual reality and present experience, this Christ is emerging out from the church, both as the star and as the scepter. So we are privileged to know him and even to participate in bringing him forth that he may shine and that he may rule for the glory of God.
Ron, we have one more segment. We're going to stay in this portion, chapters 22 through 24, on these parables of Balaam. Here's Witness Lee.
Well, in Balaam's parables as prophecies, you see all the riches which are related to the church are all covered. The church is victorious. The church is the horn of the wild ox. And the church is the lioness. How about this? My, the church is what? The church is like a garden. Like a garden by the river. And the church has its valleys stretching out afar, full of riches, full of green. And the church's water flows like a river, also like the water in buckets. Everywhere is water. It's altogether not dried up. How about all these things? Let me check with you. The book Ephesians is a heavenly book on the church. When you come to the book Ephesians, could you see all these things? Ephesians didn't tell us the church is a garden by the river. Ephesians didn't tell us water buckets. Small vessel. You think you're too small in the church? Just a bucket. But this bucket's full of water.
Amen.
How about this? The Ephesians didn't tell us the church has valleys. Not only is it one, valleys. Stretching out. Not in one direction, it may be in four directions. What is this? New Testament tells us Christ the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. But Ephesians never tells us that we are lambs. Well, there is a book which is called Numbers. In other words, could you have such views concerning Christ, concerning the church? So, I like to try my best to help you young ones to learn how to study the Bible. Seemingly, this is just a book of history concerning Israel's journey in the wilderness. But in such a history, the intrinsic contents are nothing but Christ first. Then Christ's body, the church. This is clear.
Well, Ron, time is short, but I think we have to comment on his marvelous comparison here of this book of Numbers to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. I think most Bible scholars acknowledge that Ephesians is the highest utterance, especially related to this matter of the church. And yet here he points out that such a book as Numbers conveys portions or aspects of the church that cannot even be seen in Ephesians. This is marvelous, isn't it?
The comparison with Ephesians with respect to the church is very significant here, because we're using as our standard the highest revelation concerning the church in the Scriptures, the book of Ephesians. Yet, faithfully, as always, our brother points out, in the Old Testament, particularly here in Numbers, are aspects of the church revealed in figure, not found even in the book of Ephesians. The horns of the wild ox, indicating the church is victorious. The lion and the lioness, another indicator of the church being victorious. The garden by the rivers, the flowing water, even from the buckets, the smaller vessels. These are marvelous pictures of how God views the church. If we have this view, we will have the proper appreciation of the church of God. And I emphasize the church of God, not just any Christian group, but the church of God. The church of God in his eyes is victorious. It's a garden. It's a conquering lion. It's an ox that licks up the grass, inciting terror into the enemies of God. This is the church as God sees the church, because God sees the church as she is and where she is in the wonderful Christ.
Ron, this has been a marvelous program. Thank you for joining us today. And for Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde.